And so what we're going to do this morning, church, is take a look at what we can learn from faithful servants. And I was thinking, what am I going to speak on with this story kicking things off? You know, prayer, faith, trials, tribulations. There's many things that we can draw from some of these characters that we're looking at in these stories. And I think these are good characters to know. These names, these are good to teach the children, some of these people of faith that we can learn from and follow. But what can we learn today? And so the message today, listen, is called, Are You Living by the Flesh or the Spirit? So what we're going to do is take a look at what it is to live in the flesh and in the spirit. Because as Mary went about her journeys, we see she was dealing with some people who very much evidenced the works of the flesh. And her desire is to share the love of Christ with them so that they can be born again, so that they can live differently, live in the Spirit. As she went to share Christ with the Okoyong people, we see a huge conflict. The story goes that they were getting ready to have a war. They were fighting. They were full of violence. And she gets in the middle of them. Yes, it takes a great amount of courage. She believed that God was with her. She believed that she was in God's will in doing these things. But they lived in the flesh. And only a God change would allow them to change and live in the Spirit. Our text this morning is going to be in Galatians. So much of Galatians is written to help the believer understand the difference between the flesh and the Spirit. In Galatia, many had trusted Christ. They received the gospel by faith. But then they were also now thinking that they were to grow in their faith in their own efforts or in the flesh. And so Paul came to address some of these issues with them. And he explained to them that you live the Christian life in the same way that you began it. And that is by faith. We began our Christian walk and our Christian experience at some time understanding that we can do nothing of ourselves, that we are dead in our sins and trespasses, that we are without hope and lost, and we need God's mercy and grace. And through faith, we receive that mercy and that grace. But then we need to continue to live our Christian life with the same understanding that we can't do it in ourselves. This is not a work of my flesh. It's not something I'm capable of growing in the Lord, of serving Him, of living the kind of life I want to live or the kind of life that He wants me to live. I'm not capable. I am unable to do such. And so, Lord, I need You. I need You to do it in me, to do it through me, to do it for me. Living in the Spirit, living in the flesh. Let's take a look at what Paul says in Galatians chapter 5. We'll begin in verse 16. Just read verse 16, 17, and 18. Stand with me, would you? Let's stand together as we read this. Let's read it out loud as one. Ready? I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Let's pray. Lord, help us to understand these words to a greater extent. Father, open our eyes, illuminate our minds. May your Holy Spirit take the words of Scripture and imprint them upon our hearts. Convict us, change us, move us. Lord, if there's anybody here, a visitor or even someone who's been a long time attender but they've never trusted Christ, I pray that they would come to faith today. that they would trust Him, receive Him as Lord and Savior. And Lord, I pray for all of us that we would understand more of what it is to walk in the Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take a seat. The gospel. The gospel is a call to freedom. With this freedom, we are able to serve the Lord and to live the kind of life that God would have us to. He sets us free from the bondage of sin and free from the requirements of the law. And He accepts us, He redeems us, but He also enables us to finally live free, live the kind of life that God wants us to live. But some do not understand this. And Paul addressed this in verse 13 of the same chapter. He says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty," or freedom. "Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Some did not understand this. Some took this as an opportunity, the opportunity of freedom, to use it for what? The flesh. Now remember that word flesh? There's a Greek word. What is it? Starts with an S. Sarx. S-A-R-X. We talked about that at the Christmas time. The word became flesh, sarx, and dwelt among us. This is the same word once again. Says, "Only do not use liberty," or the freedom that God has given to you, "as an opportunity for the sarx," for the flesh. So, let's take a look at some questions that we need to ask ourselves as we look at this passage. Three simple verses, but some questions. The first question is this: what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? What does it then mean to walk in the Spirit? Let's break it down into two main parts in the text here. The first main part that I think we can see is walking in the Spirit is being led. It's being led. And I think it's important to understand the words here. It refers to one led by the Spirit. Look again at verse 18. "But if you are led by the Spirit..." So it's a leading of the Spirit. The emphasis here is on the Spirit of God leading the believer in his walk or in his life, in his actions, his words, his thoughts. We do not follow the Lord in our own strength, but we are led by the Spirit. Do you see the difference of emphasis here? So it's a leading, and we follow. We follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in our life. So to walk in the Spirit means to stay connected to Him and to follow behind Him as He leads us. So this walking in the Spirit is a leading of the Spirit of God in our life. But the second thing, the second part of walking in the Spirit is that it is shown in the fruit of the Spirit. And I say that because the chapter goes on into the famous couple of verses. In verse 22, Paul describes the fruit of the Spirit. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." So he describes, you know, walk in the Spirit. What is walking in the Spirit? It's being led by the Spirit. As we follow, we are being led by Him. What does it look like in our life? Well, it's described here as the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit is the result. And so that's what it looks like in our life. It's not just some emotional thing. It is a very real and very visible, tangible thing to be walking in the Spirit. And it shows in your life in these areas. Love, joy, peace, long-sufferings or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is the fruit of the Spirit of God, of walking in the Spirit. Is the fruit showing in your life? That's the question you need to ask yourself. Is the fruit showing? Is it evidence that you are walking in the Spirit by the fruit in your life described here? So we see those two things, walking in the Spirit, being led, and it shows up as the fruit. The work of the Spirit is emphasized, but we are also commanded to walk. So our will is involved as well. It is the working of the Spirit. He who began a good work will be faithful to complete it, but we're also told to walk. To walk in the Spirit. Now, again, like so many important Bible doctrines, the major doctrines of the Bible have apparent paradoxes. You know what a paradox is, I hope. What's a paradox? A paradox is an apparent contradiction. Okay? It may not be a genuine contradiction, but it is apparent to us in such a way. So the major doctrines of the Scripture often have paradoxes. Let me give you an example of such paradoxes. Who wrote the book of Galatians? Who? Didn't God write all Scripture? All Scripture is God-breathed? Okay, so that's not an easy question to answer, is it? Why? Because we know, well, God wrote the Bible. But we also know that Paul was the author and that God spoke through these human authors using their minds and even their intellect and their words. They weren't just robots dictated. God used them. And so this is an apparent paradox. All Scripture is God-breathed, but yet God used man to write. Other paradoxes. There's one God, but there's three persons in the Godhead. The Trinity, that's what we're talking about. Three distinct persons, each harmonious in their office together, but yet there is only one God. A paradox? Absolutely. And these things, you know, in faith, we come to accept. Why? Because we know God's ways are higher than our ways. His intellect is much higher than ours. We accept He's the creator of the universe, so He has that prerogative. We understand salvation is possible only when we are drawn by the Spirit, when we are called to such. But at the same time, we are commanded to repent, and we are all held responsible if we do not repent. We see Paul state that it is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. So I don't live any longer, but it's Christ that lives in me. But then he goes on, the life that I now live, I live by... So there's this paradox. Who's living your Christian life? And you say, well, I guess God's living it. Well, in one sense, then you're blaming God for your failures. But if you say, well, I'm living my Christian life. Well, what about Christ living in you? So these are paradoxes that we see here. And so the Spirit is leading my walk, and He is responsible for the change that He does in my life. But at the same time, I am commanded to walk in the Spirit, to submit myself to His will continuously, to allow Him to do His work in my life willingly. So what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? It means being led, and it shows up in the fruit. But second, let's take a look at this question. Why is it important to walk in the Spirit? Why? Well, let's look at verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, the sarx. Walk in the Spirit. Now, I want you to notice, this is not a command given to not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Not fulfilling the lust of the flesh is a result of obedience to this command of walking in the Spirit. So the command is walk in the Spirit. The result is you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that's why this is so important. This is an important command for us to keep. The flesh is more than just the physical body that even Christ possessed. Notice after listing the fruit of the Spirit in verse 22, Paul goes on in verse 24 to say, "And those who are Christ's," that is, we belong to Christ, "have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Are you Christ's? I don't mean, are you little Christ? I mean, do you belong to Christ? Are you His? Okay, the Bible says those who are Christ, those who belong to Him, have been crucified. When were you crucified? When did you die? When were you crucified? Paul says in chapter 2, verse 20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I have been crucified with Christ." Chapter 6, verse 14, "God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." When was Paul crucified? On the cross of Christ. He died with Christ. In Christ, He died. And so those of us who are belong to Him, we are Christ's. We've been crucified with Him. We died with Him. That is our crucifixion. We have new life. Paul found his whole new identity in Christ. He died with Christ on the cross. He experienced His resurrection life, even at this time. And so we also were crucified with Christ when He died. Then what is the key to this? What must we do about it? Let me give you a challenge and an encouragement this morning of what you can do about this. In Romans 6, Paul puts it this way in verse 11. He says, "Likewise also, you also, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." God's taken you by faith, and He has given you new life. You have been born again. You have been transplanted, if you would, out of the family of Adam and placed into a new family, God's family, into Christ. And in Christ, you died with Him. You died to the world, but you have resurrection life also. You have His life. Find your identity in Christ now. Not in the world. Not in Adam. Not in who you were before. And that's why Paul says, reckon yourselves. That word reckon is the key. The word reckon is the Greek word logizomai. Logizomai. It means to consider, to think on, to count it so, to reason, to suppose, or just to account. Okay? That means you have considered it and accounted it and reasoned it to be so in your life. Logizomai. Logizomai. That's where we get the word logic from. We consider, we reckon it to be so, we think about it, we reason it. So God declares those in Christ died with Him. You died to the world, but you are alive in Christ. What do you need to do? You can't do anything else that God hasn't already done for you. But you must reckon it to be so. Account it, reason it to be so. Reckon it in your life. It's important to walk in the Spirit so that we can live a life pleasing to Him. not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. That leads us to number three then. What is the struggle? So far, so good. I'm dead to the world. I was crucified with Christ. I'm alive in Him. I've been set free. What's the problem? Well, maybe you're getting discouraged sitting here right now, because inside you know there are times you have this war going on. And you're thinking, if I'm truly a Christian, I've died to the world, I've been crucified with Christ, I no longer live, I'm being led by the Spirit, then I shouldn't be struggling this way. I want to encourage you, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Look again at verse 17. Paul stated, "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish." The main thing I want you to take from this right here is that all Christians experience this struggle within. There's this struggle here. And all struggle is not a bad thing. Praise God for this struggle. Why? Because your spirit has been quickened. Your spirit has been awakened, made alive. When you were once dead to God, living in sin, without a care in the world, but now your spirit is made alive to God. And as such, there's going to be this conflict and this war going inside. A Christian is not a person who has no bad desires. That's not the definition of a Christian. A Christian is one who now, instead of being dead to God, is now at war with those desires by the power of the Spirit inside of them. There's a war going on. Why? Because you have the Spirit of God with you. Yes, we live in this world and in this flesh, and as such, there is going to be that conflict. Remember, the good news is verse 16. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We can have victory in Him when we follow the leading of the Spirit. So keep the focus on walking in the Spirit, letting Him lead you, and showing the fruits of the Spirit in your life. So rejoice if there's a struggle in your life going on. Why? Because you know that is the Spirit of God evidenced in you, and it's contrary to the flesh. The two are not compatible. When is this struggle over? Well, praise the Lord, He gives us the victory to live in this life, all that we need to live by faith, but the struggle is over when we are with Him face to face. We no longer have the conflict, the flesh and the spirit going on in our life.
When
amen?
When you left the tents,
yes.
You went.
Wow, that's new. Where was I? Number four question. Let's have one more. What is the result? We've touched on this a little bit. But the result of walking in the Spirit is freedom to produce fruit. You cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit when you're not born again. When you are the natural, fleshly-minded person, the natural person cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit. Natural people can do some good things. Don't get me wrong, and I'm not saying everybody who's not a Christian is just bad and mean and nasty and never do anything good. You know, that's not right either, but they cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit. They cannot produce the fruit of walking in the Spirit, of being led by the Spirit, because they don't have the Spirit. They are dead to God. They are living in the flesh. The things that they do are done in their own flesh, in their own abilities, their own power, not in the Spirit. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now you say, great, I'm not under the law anymore. I can live however I want. My friends, if that's your thinking, and it is some people's, but if that's your thinking, you are clearly misunderstanding. You're not understanding. Paul preached a gospel of grace, that salvation was by grace, and our works have nothing to do with it. And Paul himself, especially with his Pharisee background, understood the potential objection to this. If God's grace is free and it does not involve our work, then that means it doesn't matter how I live. And that's what some conclusions, that's how some were making conclusions. He addresses this in Romans, in chapter 6 of Romans, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What was his answer? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? That means you're not reckoning yourself dead to sin. That means you're not walking in the Spirit. You're not being led by the Spirit. If you have this thinking, the phrase Paul uses here, certainly not, is a phrase in Greek that expresses a shock that such could ever have been thought to begin with. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound more? We're set free from the law. We're not saved by the law, by what we do, so we can continue in sin. And he expresses this phrase that means a shock at how could you think that to begin with? It makes no sense. It shouldn't compute in our minds. And then he follows up with, how shall we who are dead to sin continue to live in it? That doesn't make sense either. You died to it. You've been given a new life. The rest of the chapter, in chapter 6, goes on with this presupposition that you died to sin. You are alive in Christ. And so in Galatians, Paul wants them to know that our justification could not be bought by the law, by what you do, but nor can our sanctification. Both are by the Spirit of God. Our justification, that is our standing before God, and our sanctification, which is our lives being sanctified, being made holy, being used for Him and His purposes. Both are by the Spirit of God in our lives and by His grace. But we have responsibility as well. That's why the command, the supposed paradox, is walk in the Spirit as He's leading us. So in no way is Paul suggesting we become lawbreakers. In fact, he stated a few verses earlier in verse 13, he says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty, freedom. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, he says all the law is summed up in one word. What is that one word? He doesn't actually state it. He actually says a quote. But the one word is love, isn't it? All the law summed up in this one word, love. He's saying one who is led by the Spirit, growing in the fruit of the Spirit in their life, is one that is free from the law, but is fulfilling it in Christ through love. Love of God and love of others. Guys, this is deep stuff here, isn't it? This is really deep and meaty stuff that Paul is talking to us about. Living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, walking in the flesh. One who is truly born again loves. One who is truly born again loves. We love Him because He first loved us. And we can only love because He initiated the relationship. He enabled the relationship to happen. But one who is truly born again loves. God is love. And therefore, it must come out in the lives of those that He has changed. And because of this love, a Christian wants to please his Lord, wants to live for his Lord, and he wants to serve others. This is walking in the Spirit. Maybe you've heard people say, let the Spirit lead you, or something like that. How do you allow the Spirit to control you? Rest in the promises of God first. Live by faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave Himself for you. And now you understand and trust Him and understand that everything is working together for good to those who love the Lord. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm going to finish in reading to you a short story regarding this woman that we read about. Remember her name? Mary. Mary Schlesser. Let me read this to you. It says, soon after landing in Calabar, she began to realize the difficulty and seeming impossibility of the work to which she had committed herself. She saw huge, hideous alligators sunning on the mud banks and swimming in the streams. One day her canoe was attacked by a hippopotamus and she saved her life and the lives of the children with her by throwing a cooking pot into the gaping jaws. She saw the barracoons where the captured natives were pinned until the slave ships arrived. She found herself in a land where terrified prisoners dipped their hands in boiling oil to test their guilt under some accusation, where wives were strangled and buried alive to go with their dead chief into the spirit world, where heartless chiefs could order a score of men and women to be beheaded for a cannibal orgy and sell 100 more into the horrors of slavery. What could one frail, timid woman do confronted by such an appalling situation? Overwhelmed and depressed, she knelt and prayed, Lord, the task is impossible for me, but not for Thee. Lead the way and I will follow. Rising, she said, why should I fear? I'm on a royal mission. I am in the service of the King of Kings. She commenced the study of Efik, the language of the Calabar people, and in time mastered it so the natives admitted that she could use their tongue better than they themselves could. What a memorable day it was when she went out on her first preaching trip. Two boys carried a drum and beat it to call the people together. Hearing that a white woman was in the vicinity, a great crowd quickly gathered. Her first message to the dark throng of superstitious and barbaric Africans was delivered in the shade of a large tree beside the devil house built for a dead man's spirit. After reading John 5, verses 1 to 24, she spoke in tender tones, dwelling especially on verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and you shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. In a land of death, she brought a message of life. To souls in deepest sorrow, she brought a message of comfort and hope. To people dwelling in the habitations of cruelty, she spoke of love and kindness. To lives steeped in barbarism and sin, she pointed to the redeeming Lord. In Christ, the missionary says, we become new creatures. His life becomes ours. Take that word life and turn it over and over and press it and try to measure it and see what it will yield. Eternal life is a magnificent idea which comprises everything the heart can yearn after. Do your hearts yearn after this life, this blessed and eternal life, which the Son of God so freely offers? And over again, you read of the stories and amazing things of this woman of faith. But to me, it's such a clear image of how it's the same all over the world. Man is dark and in sin, but God can take even the darkest of sinners and transform them. Go from living in the flesh to living in the Spirit. That was her message of hope, her message of love to these people. That's our message today. Christian, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you're here today and you're not a believer, you're not a Christian yet, I just want to ask, why not? Christ has died for you. He paid the price for your sin. There is nothing else you can do. It's not an effort on your part to put your faith in Him. In fact, you are commanded to repent, to believe the gospel. Will you do that this morning? Will you trust Him? Let's stand together. Walk in the Spirit. With every head bowed and eyes closed, let's have a quiet time for a few moments. Kids, children, let's have a quiet time for just a few more minutes, and we'll be dismissed soon, I promise. Christian, are you walking in the Spirit? Are you walking in the Spirit? Are you being led by Him as you're following, as you're obeying? You're in the Word, you go to Him in prayer, and you say, Lord, I want Your will to be done in my life. I want to follow You. Is the fruit of the Spirit evidenced, as we saw in Galatians 5:22? Is it evidenced in your life? Love, joy, peace, patience, faithfulness, gentleness, kindness. Are these the things that are evidenced of walking in the Spirit? If they're not, this morning I urge you perhaps to go to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, I want to walk in the Spirit. That's what I want in my life. I want to be led by Him. I want the fruit of the Spirit in my life. And reckon yourself dead to sin. Lord, from this day on, I acknowledge not only Paul, but myself. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Can you make that your prayer this morning? Reckon yourself dead to sin. Reckon yourself to have been crucified with Christ, because spiritually that is the reality. God has made you spiritually born again, born anew, transplanted you out of Adam and put you into Christ, and in Him you died. I've been crucified with Him. And walk in the Spirit, my friends, not in the flesh. Is there anyone here that might say, Pastor Ken, I'm not sure I've ever been truly born again. I'm not sure I've ever come to faith and asked Jesus to cleanse me and to forgive me of all my sins. Is there anyone like that? Pastor Ken, just pray for me. I'm not sure I've truly been born again ever. Would you raise your hand up? Real quietly where you are with no one else looking. Just pray for me, Pastor Ken. I'm not sure about this. It's a concern to me. I'm not sure, though, if I've ever come to faith in Jesus Christ. Pray for me in this matter. Raise your hand quietly. Raise your hand. No one looking. No one else looking. Pray for me, Pastor Ken. Okay, my friends, go to the Lord right now. May your prayer be, Lord, today I reckon this to be so in my life. I account it so. I've been crucified. And by your power, I will follow and I will be led by the Spirit of God. I will walk in the Spirit. I'll lead us in just a moment. Father, thank you for your word to us today. And Lord, this example of a woman of faith, Lord, it's a challenge to myself to have that kind of conviction and faith in the midst of not only danger, but in the midst of great evil all around. But Lord, you can set us free from such. Lord, anyone, you can save anyone and give them life, set them free from the bondages of sin. And thank you for saving me and so many of my brothers and sisters who testify and say thank you, Lord. But Father, I pray that we would reckon ourselves to be dead to sin, but alive in Christ. That we, Lord, would say with Paul, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. We thank you for this spiritual truth, and may we hold on to it and live it. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take a seat if you would for a minute. We have a few announcements before we're dismissed.
Thank you for the message this morning. If you have your bulletins, just check on the inside pages a few things that we'd like to share with you before we're dismissed. Under our notices, we have the IBC Youth, an announcement for them that the parents of children's year 7 to 13 will have a meeting next Sunday, and that meeting will take place after the 11 o'clock service with Josh and Denise. So if your student fits within the year 7 to 13 school age, then see Josh and Denise next week after the service time. We have still on the holiday schedule for next week and then the following week up through Chinese New Year, and then we'll be back to our two worship services beginning on the 17th of February. And then also we have a year 13 apologetics study. So in this apologetics study, this will be a 12-week study. There's a cost to this with $20 on the workbook. And that will begin on the 10th of March at 11 o'clock. Is that right, Josh, during 11 o'clock worship service time? Yep, okay. So you'll see Josh about that. If you're a year 13 student and you're preparing yourself for what comes next, then just see Josh and Denise about that, and they'll give you the workbook and everything that goes along with it. Our missionaries that we're praying for this week, Wesley and Priscilla, these are missionaries that we've supported and known for several years. They were part of IBC for quite some time now in Brazil, so continue to pray for them. And I think that's all of the announcements, other than to remind you that we have our missionary letters in the back, so continue to pray for the missionaries that we support. We're going to have some time to celebrate if you have birthdays or anniversaries or anything coming up. A few weeks ago, we had John and Franny. They came up because it was their one-year anniversary, and then sometimes right after that, they shared with us that they will be expecting their first child later on in the year. So John and Franny, congratulations to you. They're here somewhere. I don't know exactly where. They're here somewhere. And then, of course, to Gigi and John as well. Congratulations to you. You will be the grandparents. Anyone celebrating a birthday this week? Anyone with a birthday, come on up here, John. Birthday for John. Anyone else with a birthday, come on up here. Anyone else celebrating a birthday this week, come on up to the front. How about wedding anniversaries? Anyone celebrating a wedding anniversary this week? Come up here. Anyone else with a birthday or wedding anniversary? Come up. Wow. Might have to restock the chocolates. We got a lot this week. Let's all stand together. We're going to sing Happy Birthday, and then we will sing Happy Anniversary. Let's all sing together Happy Birthday. Happy Birthday.
Happy anniversary to you. Congrats. Congrats. How many years, Steve? 39. Congrats. Congrats to Ann especially. That's great. Okay, let's be dismissed in prayer. Sorry. Let's be dismissed. God, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the freedom that we have in Christ. But it's not a freedom to serve the flesh. It's a freedom, Lord, to walk in the Spirit and to be led by the Spirit and to see the fruit of the Spirit in us. May we be obedient to you as you lead us. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.